All right. So first off, can you please tell me your name?
Alan B. Conrad.
And which Origins have you attended?
Every one of them from the very beginning.
Wow.
In 1975.
So gaming is, and Origins have clearly had a big part of your life. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's not so much it's a big part. It's been just sort of a continuous part. And something you might be getting into in your next questions. But I've never been a gamer who plays things at the conventions. I tend not to play games I don't know how to play, but I've observed all the things, and different conventions do things differently. Origins was originally a board gaming convention, which was my specialty. It has now gotten into a lot of different areas that I know of and have sometimes participated in. And I have been knowledgeable of some of the original people who were big in the original companies, the gaming companies, and knew some of them personally at the time. And as everything's gotten bigger and bigger, I've gotten to be less and less of knowing everything that's going on or even a part of what's going on now. So it's something I have been able to actually every summer do, get the time and the expense of being able to get there one way or another. Sometimes with a couple other people that were driving out here and various things. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a big part, but it's been something I've enjoyed and wanted to maintain doing once I've gotten into it, doing it this long.
So that first year, 1975, why did you come and what was your impression when you first got there?
Well, I hardly even remember my impression. I mean, if I remember correctly, it was at Johns Hopkins University, and it was just like a few extra classrooms, and they had one area with only a few exhibitors on it. And the only thing I really remember is spending time with a couple of the exhibitors who I even knew who they were, because there was no one else I knew there at the time. I was even thinking before, because I knew I was meeting you, as to why I went. And considering the fact that it was relatively expensive for how much money I had in those days, I'm not exactly sure why. It was presumably because they advertised it in the Strategy and Tactics magazine that this thing was happening there, although Avalon Hill was the one that sponsored the very first one. And it must have just struck my fancy. Now, I have been a member and part of a group in Champaign at the University of Illinois who's been running a small game convention. And we've been running ours for 53rd. I can give you a flyer for this upcoming one if you wish to see it. So we were running our own convention before Origins started. And I had been to Gen Con at least 1 year before Origins. And they were close enough. And so I was sort of getting infected with the convention bug even beforehand. So for whatever reason, and East Coast was a long way, I'd hardly ever been out to the East Coast. It might have been the very first time I ever actually went out to the East Coast was there, because I can't think that I was ever out there beforehand. I don't remember other than, it's a game convention. Game convention up in Gen Con was interesting. The one we run was very, very small and stuff. But yeah, just sort of did it because. I don't really remember exactly why. And it was limited in its scope and even its appeal such that I'm not entirely certain why I decided to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because the second one was in the same place, was not much, and since I didn't play anything at the first one that I recall, there might have been some people I knew there that I wanted to go see, and this would be the only chance I get to see, and that could have been a part of it. I don't really remember exactly why. It was just started up and just became part of something. Yes, I do this because I do it.
Okay. I mean, it clearly made an impression on you, because like you said, you've been coming every year after since. So, and you went a long way. You're the first person I've talked to that's been coming at that time that traveled as far as the Midwest to get to that first Origins.
Possibly. I'm sure there were, because I know the people from the Game Designers Workshop. Well, I don't even know if they existed quite at that point now, if I'm thinking of it. I don't know what, I don't even remember how many people were there.
It was 1,500.
Was it that many?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it was that many to me. Because a lot of the ones that were at some of these campuses early on, they were in various classrooms, in various different rooms that were on various parts of the campus. You wouldn't see that many. And many, particularly the first few, didn't have large exhibitor halls. So you really couldn't even see the scope of all the stuff that was being presented. One of the big things, though, that was not something I was that interested in, but one of the things I think drew a lot of people early on is several of the companies had their main product release at Origins. The new games they're going to come out with were there at that convention. So people would always rush in, and a lot of times they sold out whatever they brought with them for the thing. So that was something for people who'd come to do that. But for instance, I don't know how many people from the West Coast came here. There must have been some, because it was only a few years later we went out to the West Coast, and they still had a fairly good showing there at San Mateo, as I recall. And that was an odd one because it was at sort of a lodge or something like that out. So like we had the auction, I always remember the auctions, I'm interested in game auctions, where it's being held around the swimming pool at this particular area there. And I hadn't brought a hat, so I think it's always had a certain amount of national appeal, at least as far as I know. But of course, one of the reasons it ended up here in Columbus was this had the best range of getting everybody from Chicago, Atlanta, everybody from the East Coast were all approximately the same and would have a chance to come to get here.
Okay. Well, let's talk about those earlier years with the traveling show a little bit. So obviously you were already traveling to get to Origins on the East Coast. It stayed in Baltimore for the
first 2 years.
And then it was in New York, you know, which isn't that much of a stretch from Baltimore. But after that, like, it was in Michigan, it was in Pennsylvania, it was in California, yes. Like you said. What was it like traveling to the convention those years? And did it really feel different every different location?
Yes, every location at that time, or for a fairly long time, was completely different. And they did not have a good model for how they wanted to do these things. And for a while, I actually would show up at the Gamma board meetings to see what was going on, even though I was not a member, but so I knew some of the things which was happening. But they would have, because the first one was held because the Avalon Hill Game Company said, we will put it up, we will do all the work, and they did it. But they didn't want to keep doing it. I don't remember if there was a particular reason or what. And then the SPI people up in New York City, they took it the next year. Well, then it went out to Ann Arbor, which was not really a game company. There was a big club there out of Detroit. Michigan War Gamers, and they've run conventions for a long time, but I don't think they've continuously run conventions. They've had times when they're off for a few years, because keeping the personnel one needs to get a convention running is not easy. And as they were going to all these various places where they would make a bid, we even bid at the New York convention, the third one. I sort of out of nowhere, because the game designer workshop people who had a up-and-coming game company in Normal, Illinois, just down the road from me, said, we think we might be able to sponsor the fourth one. We were interested in doing it. But they did not know, so they knew we had a game club because we helped them sometimes play tests or something. Said, you know, give a spiel about the number of people you can. And so I said, I was glad we never got it, because I don't think we could have run a convention there, because they were already starting to get pretty big. Over time, with different groups always running it, it was even pre-Gamma, I think, who actually was trying to keep things together. They would never know how many attendees there were, what the budget actually were, the money. They couldn't keep track of that until they then became the sponsoring organization. I don't remember exactly when they did that. But I think a couple of the LA ones were under their thing. I know the one they went to Philadelphia and something. They were running things and were getting together the people to do them. But yeah, everything was different. And just how they were going to run their convention, what games they were going to run. There always was an exhibitor hall. That was always another thing. People would come just to see what was there, because they couldn't see things other places. This was long before the internet, long before you could order things online. Most of these companies you could order through the mail from them, but these companies are all pretty small. I'm not even sure what kind of advertising or kind of marketing things they would do. That, I mean, there were the magazines. The magazines were out there. Avalon Hill had their General magazine. SPI had the Strategy and Tactics magazine, and those held a number of people together, because people would get the same advertisements. They would give news of what was happening out there. I only have some fleeting memories of some of the places, like in Baltimore, and the second set of ones, we were right next to the harbor. So I think we were in a Sheraton hotel, which was nice because it was different, because we're next to a harbor and everything, which is different than being some other places. The one down in Fort Worth was different because it was out sort of in the middle of nowhere between the two big cities of Fort Worth and Dallas. And of course, every year was somewhat different in where you get to stay to go to them. So I believe the second one that was in after Ann Arbor, the second time they were at Cobo Hall, I think, in Detroit. A group of us came from Champaign together, but we stayed at the dormitories in Windsor, Ontario. So we had to go across the bridge where they would ask us, you know, are you got anything to, this was before you had to have your visa or however you do it now, because now you have to have actual documentation back then. Because we did attempt to be a game company. I had one of my own, one or two of them. I had a little desk there, but I never sold anything. But then the people I was working with in Champaign, they put out some games, and we were driving into Ontario, and I had gotten there a day early to get everything set up for the rest of us, and I had a station wagon that I was driving. Why was I driving a station wagon? I can't remember now. But it was full of their games we were in the back. And they said, well, what do you got there? You declare what you're bringing into the country. I said, I don't know, I've got these games. And unfortunately, it said manufactured in Urbana, Illinois. Otherwise, they wouldn't have known they were actually manufactured in the United States as compared to what you're bringing into Canada. So every year had something that was somewhat different, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what was it like then when it finally settled in Columbus? You had been used to traveling for about 20 years to the con every time, and now finally it's kind of got its home. What did that change for you?
Well, as far as traveling, did not change. I mean, it was the same, so I didn't have to worry about getting different. It's always been what hotel you might be able to get hold of. Mm-hmm. I was never very good at getting my reservations really early. So I've been at almost every hotel around here one time or another because their blocks might be different. I was still driving 300 miles, so I'm still traveling. It's not, I mean, the Gen Con, which is Indianapolis, which is only 2 hours away from Champaign, I'm still driving. It's not like something you can be. So you're still going. You still have to have the hotel. So it's, other than the fact one gets used to where the rooms are, how they're going to put it together and stuff, so there's not as much potential anxiety, though I don't remember really that much of it being different. I mean, being different was part of what was more interesting, perhaps, back in those days. Mm-hmm. It's nice now once one gets older to know what you're expecting to see, so that it's different in that way. But it's still traveling.
Yeah. Did you, of all the origins you've been to, did you have a favorite one, either because of the city or just that particular year?
Oh, not really. Some of the earlier ones when particularly the SPI game company, and they'd have all their big wigs there, like one of the times they had a particular seminar there, and they brought watermelon and chopped up the watermelon and distributed the watermelon to everybody. I mean, that was unique and interesting, and everybody was having fun times, something like that. So some of those in that way were different. The War College, which I've been attending a lot, had some very good years. A couple of years perhaps before we got here, in the first few years here, when they spent more money to bring in people who were highly knowledgeable on subjects, rather than people just volunteering their time to put together a thing. And we, some of them were very well attended, learned a lot from them, got to know a few people who were interesting. So no particular year, but some of the years when the War College was really functioning well were my favorites.
Okay. And speaking of the War College, I know it's one of your favorite things to do here at Origins. So what do you like to spend your time at, and how has that changed over the years?
It has not changed much. Any convention I go to, I like any of the seminars which are being presented. You get a chance to. Now, things have changed over the years. There were almost no seminars to begin with, but then the company started putting these seminars where they would tell anybody, you know, here's the product we've put out, here's what we're planning to do in the future. Anybody has questions about our games, you can ask the people who have designed it, because we've got a panel of all their designers there. And that was very interesting to get to meet these people in person, talk to them, find out things you wouldn't know otherwise. And the War College was sort of grew out of that, because a lot of these were just, and they still have some of those here, which are just in other parts of the convention. And I don't remember exactly when the War College type of idea, well, let's present a historical subject, as compared to talking about the games themselves. Most of it originally was about the games. But at some point, they got into people who designed the game had learned a lot about the history of why they were doing it, at least any of the historical board games. There are, of course, games that are built that don't have a history. They're fantasy, science fiction, various other things, all sorts of things these games are I've been signed about. And so you could learn something. And that was, to me, playing the games was part learning about history. People play games for different reasons. Some people play them like they play chess. You don't play chess because you're worried about how things happen. It's a game. You get good at it to play it because of its rules. And you want to win or lose. And similarly, so I've never been a particular in chess. I do like to play poker, which involves winning or losing something, because it's really not worth anything. You're not playing for money. But still, it's a matter of using your brain power to analyze situations. And some of the games are like that. Some games, they have all sorts of games. I don't know how much personally you're used to seeing all this stuff and stuff, but a lot of them are multiplayer games with lots of players. Some of them are cooperative games where people are not playing against each other. They're playing against the game system to do as the best they can. And of course, what has really changed the conventions over time is when these brand new things happen. So fairly early on in the 70s, and it took a little while for it to affect the conventions quite as much as it did our game clubs, was the role-playing games, particularly Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of people who were normally board gamers went into that, and it really changed what all we're doing. Some of us got into more. I played some, not a lot. And that became the focus of some conventions, and particularly Gen Con, which started off as a gaming convention, since they had developed D&D was what they did, and they became then a multi-million dollar corporation, making a lot of people rich. They focused on that more than, for instance, this convention, which took more time to get into that. When the collectible card games came out, then that would be mid-80s, late 80s?
Mid-90s.
It was mid-90s?
Yeah.
That then also changed it, because those things cost more money to get into, whereas the D&D, somebody bought the book and then everybody just played with it. There, you were collecting cards, and cards cost money, and new cards would come out. That changed the whole thing and changed how conventions ran. So all these things did change, and I never got into those that much. So seminars, particularly the ones that are historical, have always been my focus on what I'm interested in doing at any convention. And if a convention doesn't have that, I won't tend to go to it that often or continue going to it, type of thing.
You brought up Dungeons & Dragons. I have a question about that. So back in mid to late 70s and the early 80s, particularly with Origins, but even just at gaming cons in general, you were primarily a wargamer, as you were saying at the time. Do you remember any animosity at any of these conventions between wargamers and the role players or anything like that?
There were, and I was just talking to somebody else that was complaining about how, that changed the atmosphere because they brought, and it brought, particularly since I was not necessarily part of them, but was cognizant of the GAN manufacturers, and some of them were exclusively board gaming, but they wanted to bring new people in. This has been the board gaming, particularly historical board gaming, has always been a group of aging white men who we need more diversity. We need to bring more people in, particularly kids. And so one of the things they would say is, everybody here at this meeting, your job next year is to teach a kid to play a game, because we need to bring in young blood. And some people might do this, some might not, depends on what you're doing. So they wanted, even they said, well, yeah, they're doing the Dungeons & Dragons, but that shows they want to be competitive, they're interested in doing that. And they'll get in some cases, they then came back, and whether it drew more people out of gaming, our type of gaming, than ever came back, would be hard to say. But getting more women and more younger people here at this convention, very few people were against that, but there would be some. There would be some. And those people would be the people that didn't keep coming.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't see them anymore. Now, not a whole lot of people in my group from our town came to very many of these conventions that often. There are always a few of us, and some of us that came many years here to this for one reason or other, but I don't know if that many people or hardly anybody that really held a grudge against anybody because of the way things were going.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about some of your Origins experiences, but when you think back over the past 50 years, is there any one moment or thing that happened in Origins that really sticks out in your mind? What was your most memorable experience?
That's really hard to say. On a couple of different occasions, I was able to get into discussions with people who designed games about subjects I was interested in. and it sort of got this flame in me that I could become, because I have designed a couple games but never published any, and that, or that I would get to know these people and get to be part of their game companies or something like that. And there were two or three of those. I remember the one particular in Staten Island, and there was the third one that happened a lot, or happened, at least happened there. That's one of the ones I sort of remember. And a couple other times, but really anything I can think of that was more memorable, or so much more memorable than anything else that I go back and think about it.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, what does Origins mean to you?
Well, just because it's been, and it's not even the longest, since Gen Con is older than it, and Gen Con is closer to me, so I can get to it more easily over the years. But it has, in a way, then this is sort of a continuation of one of your previous questions. They have drifted more away from sort of the center, although really even here there's not that much. Board gaming was always, historical board gaming was always difficult. Actually, I can go back and think of it, re-answer one of your previous questions.
But, sure.
The board games I do, you really can't play in a couple hours. So you couldn't really play them much at a convention. So they didn't lend themselves to that. Even in our game clubs, they don't lend themselves to that very much. But actually, now that I'm thinking of the game company up in Bloomington Normal, Game Designers Workshop, they had gotten into it, and they would have their own room sometimes where they would set up their games. And in addition to having seminars, where they have seminars, and so I got to know a lot of those people. So that's very memorable now that I'm thinking it through a little bit of when we had those. And they even were calling them Europa Fest, because Europa was the name of the game system. And they even held a couple of the Europa Fests at other game conventions when they got tired of doing it at Origins or something like that. So it was a part of Origins because it was one of the companies that was selling product here and demonstrating their games and selling them here, something, but they had their own room, so you were in with your kind of people. And it wasn't the change in Origins so much as the change in that game company, where some of their people left the company, they changed their focus and stuff like that. And a lot of the companies did change their focus of where they were going. This other one of the conventions I'll be going to later this summer, the ConSim World. I don't know if you're familiar with their.
Yeah, I've never been, but I'm familiar with
their site. They have a site where they go through all sorts of stuff. And they have an expo out in Tempe, Arizona, and been running for 20 years, 27 years. And it's a different kind of convention, this, because first of all, it's a week-long convention rather than the 4 or 5 days. I guess it's technically 5 days because they're doing something all day Wednesday here. And they are almost always playing big board games. They do a little bit because people do whatever they want to, and they've been continuing to be able to do that. But one sees there, because they have some game publishers that people who are interested in a historical subject will devise a game about it, and they're not really trying to make money. They're hoping to break even with what they sell. But there's so many games out there. I mean, you'll see so many here, but most of those kind of publishers aren't even at this convention, because it's too expensive for them to have a booth, because they're not going to sell much product to this kind of clientele, so to speak, here. But that Europa Fest room and some of the seminars we had and the people I knew there, some of which I still knew and still see on occasion, was certainly ranks real high in some of the things I've done at Origins.
Okay. Now, I was just thinking about it. You go to a lot of conventions, it sounds like. Are there any other?
Several.
Yeah.
We run a small one in Champaign called Winter War. I was just up at one called Little Wars, which is outside Chicago, which was almost entirely miniatures. Which, another thing, I like miniatures, but I've never gotten into it. I'm not good at painting. It's expensive to put together armies there, but it's nice to see. So I was just there. And I'll go to, as big conventions, I'll go to the this expo out in Arizona in July, and I'll go to Gen Con, I hope, I haven't registered yet, in August. But there are a lot of little ones around that I don't go to. They just don't hold enough appeal to me, because there's not that many people for me to meet. I mean, sometimes I go to see, the only reason I went up to the one in Little Wars, it was held, I'm originally from the Chicago area, I have relatives up there, so I visit relatives while I'm at the convention. I go to the convention, say hello to some people, then I go out and visit relatives and come back to the convention. So I'm not there only for the convention. So there are a lot of small conventions. We see they don't have it here as much as they used to. They used to have a table of flyers. You get all these flyers from all these small conventions that were all over the place. And in general, I've gone to a few of them here and there. I went to the ones that were up in Michigan back in the 80s and 90s. I was at the ones in Detroit, and I've been to a few others here and there. But the three big ones I like to always go to, and whether it's just because they're big, because there's other things enough there, I always can be busy. Can't really exactly say. And of course, now that I'm retired, I have time, and fortunately, I worked at a place I get enough of a pension I can afford to come to a place like this, and an expensive hotel doesn't kill me like it. In the old days, if I didn't come with somebody to share a hotel, something like that, that was a problem, that I had to really be careful. And flying out was always I want to go and I'm going to go, but boy, I got to be careful about things. Well, now I don't have to worry about that quite so much. So the big conventions, and I can compare them and how they do things differently than other ones. A lot of small ones, and particularly for smaller conventions, somebody who is a people person that likes to talk to people, go out and do some people, get together with people all the time, would have more than I do, or if I don't actually know somebody, something I don't really go on trying to find people to talk to, it doesn't hold as much appeal for my personality with some other people who would like to go to a lot of these small conventions, because they get to see and talk to a lot of people because they like to do that.
So you just brought this up that you could compare the conventions a little bit. Let's go into that for a second. What does Origins do differently than some of these other cons you go to?
It's pretty much the same as Gen Con, except Gen Con is bigger. I don't remember off the top, but I think they run 10,000 to 15,000, maybe 20,000 attendees here. I can't remember.
It's max 20, yeah.
Gen Con is 70,000, and they cut off, though the fire marshal won't let them have anymore. It's the only convention I ever heard of that stopped selling badges, and they did that the last 2 years, is why I meant to make sure I get around to getting mine. It is coming. And there's not any real difference. It's just it's bigger, more people, more events, but they also have seminars there. These I don't know if you investigate it at all, people that will be running these things downstairs called the National Strategic Gaming, whatever.
Decision-making game.
Decision-making games, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They run these. It's sort of live role-playing, which there's a lot of live role-playing here with people wearing costumes, which is sort of different, but it's not, sort of the same thing there. And they've been going for a long time, and they run at several conventions. They go to Gen Con. They don't go out to the one in Arizona. The one in Arizona is almost completely different because it's strictly board gaming. People that do big historical board games, and that's pretty much all that's there. People can do other things, but there's not much else there. That's a very small convention, 300-400 people, not very many people. But Origins is it's pretty much the same as Gen Con. And if one went to one, it'd be interesting to know those people that either because of what they can afford in time or money, to say, I have to go to one, but I can't go to both. I'm not sure that Origins would have anything in particular that I can think of which would say it's more worthwhile than Gen Con, unless you just don't like those bigger crowds of people you have to get through at Gen Con. It can get real crowded there at times. The facilities at both places are pretty good. There's not enough hotel space in Indy as there's here for the amount of crowd. So Origins in and of itself is the junior partner of these two big conventions, where you can see almost everything that's being done in the hobby. You can see most of the stuff, well, not everything, because like I said, these small game companies don't go to Gen Con either, to see their product and stuff. So in that way, Origins is not completely different in any way than Gen Con, but anything smaller, there are relatively few. There's a convention I've only been to three times, so called Game Hole Con, which is a screwball name. I won't bother to tell you why it's there. It's up in Madison, Wisconsin in October. I think they get 6,000 to 8,000, maybe even more, because I know a couple of people that helped run it or helped put it together. And so I only went to a couple of years. They don't have housing that's close by that's convenient. I like to be at a place where I can walk back and forth to the hotel. I don't want to have to drive over to the hotel every day or something like that, although sometimes I have to at various conventions. And that's a mid-level. I mean, it would be interesting to compare them to Origins, because they're like one level below Origins as far as the number of people And they're not into really board gaming at all. They're almost all role-playing, cards, various other things. So from that standpoint, they're a little different. But there's not that much board gaming going on here, at least historical board gaming.
Right.
If you go out to the Hall C over there, where they have people playing all the family games, there's a lot of different kinds of family games. A lot of them are really good games, but they're not historical board games. But our club games, we play the groups I'm in town, we play those games. We don't play war games, because you can play one of those in an evening with a couple of people. You can't play one of our games in an evening with a couple of people. I can't say that, other than for me, the appeal that it was the national convention, or at least they tried to declare themselves as being the national convention. They're not the oldest, because Gen Con's been around longer. This was traveling, which had a certain, I got to see parts of the country I'd never been to before. Not very much, because I might just go into the convention and go right out again. I didn't get to see much. And I don't really go around and see the sights in a place. Although I have walked around here to the river and stuff at various times when we have the time to do so. So it's hard to say what would make Origins one that I or anyone else would say, I'll go to that one, but not Gen Con, other than the crowd.
Yeah. The crowd's a big deal, though. It's not to be overestimated. I mean, Gen Con can definitely be a crush at 70,000 people.
Yeah.
I know just today I was at the exhibit hall, and I did the whole thing in about 90 minutes. And at Gen Con, I couldn't even do the whole exhibit hall in like 4 hours last year. Just not because there were too many vendors, but just because getting through the people. Like, it was a totally different experience, for sure.
But a lot there depends on how much, when one goes through the exhibitor hall, how often do you stop at a particular booth to see closely? You can walk through it in about an hour and a half and technically see everything. But if you want to investigate any, I think at Gen Con last year, I didn't get through the whole convention for 3 days, through the exhibitor hall. Now, I was doing other stuff, so I might get down there for an hour or two, go through part of it, then have to remember where I got that far the next day to go through it, and I don't even stop that often to do it. But I mean, it can take a real long time. It's not just the crowd of people, it's just there's so much stuff. If you actually want to see, oh, that looks interesting, or I want to see what that is, or something, if you like to ask questions, if you want to play in demo games, they got a lot of, you can spend the whole time down there, because they're demoing games and they're free. You get to learn a lot of games. If you like to learn, I don't like to learn new games, I like to know what I'm doing in a game. Crowds can be something that would turn some people off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're coming to the end of the interview, Alan. I just got one last question for you, and it's just, we've been talking a lot about Origins and conventions in general. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you think is important to say about your convention experiences?
Not being part of, and I never was part of, but I was somewhat knowledgeable of the decision-making process that we're going into keeping this convention going, the Game Manufacturers Guild and their type of thing. But certainly with our group at the War College, we've been disappointed they didn't put as many resources into it the last 10 years as they did earlier. It never drew a lot of people. So you can tell from economic standpoints, I mean, they sometimes have to allocate what they can to what's available. So that they did not emphasize things that I would like to have been somewhat more emphasized. But I understand sort of why it might be that way. I don't really know any of the people, again, once or twice, like I got to know a girl, one of those was Gen Con more than here. No, it wouldn't have been Gen Con, it was both. And she was somebody doing something, got to know her, what was going on, but then lost track of her. But I wish I knew more about what was going on and why. I would like to be more plugged in to things when I'm, like I said, because I'm not a person that goes around asking questions of people, of what's happening here, why are you doing this, or trying something. I just don't know. That might be the best way to answer that, I think.
Okay, that's fine. All right, well, thank you, Alan, very much for your time. I hope you make it to another 50 Origins.
We'll make that.
Yeah.
I was just telling, I came here with a friend from Champaign.
Yeah.
When he went out to get breakfast at one of the places there, and I ate something that was left over from yesterday, And then took the walk back down to see if I could meet up with a guy I know was supposed to be down in the hall there playing something, didn't find him. I came back, and I had to sit down. My legs, I just can't stand the walking.
Yeah.
At any of these conventions are this big as like I used to. Now, it's an oddity. All the conventions are like this. If you're going to be here for the whole convention?
Yeah.
Sunday, things will really start to break up. A lot of people just can't wait to get out of town. Where I figure once you're here, stay till the bitter end. Why leave early? Particularly for us, we've got a six-hour drive back. Doesn't make any difference what time Sunday evening we get home, not to me. But even the group I've been here several times, they, okay, we get up, we'll take one last look to see what, because all the none of the seminars are running on Sunday, so there's none of those to go to. You take a last look in the dealer hall, and then they want to get out of town earlier. I say, particularly those conventions where I haven't had enough time to go to the exhibitor hall very often, I can spend all day Sunday just walking through it. I can't do that. My legs give out on me. I just can't walk that on. I get real tired. So, no, I don't know how much longer we'll be able to keep doing this. But hopefully, for a while, we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.